Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and my newest book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares insightful stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, small and large miracles, and ways to rediscover the truth about who you are and how you can manifest your best life. Today, I am delighted to welcome Michael Tamitz, author of Transformative Nutrition and a certified holistic health coach. Michael's new book shares his personal journey of loss, which forced him to have major spiritual, mental, and emotional breakthroughs in relationship to the physical issues that were the most difficult for him to deal with in his life. Hello, Michael, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Michael. As listeners of Healing From Within know, my guests and I share our experiences and the awakening processes that helped lead us beyond our early childhood patterns and behaviors to mature spiritually and to know ourselves in a more intimate, loving, and selfless way. In aligning to the universal laws of energy and intuition, we can create peaceful, healthy and harmonious lifestyles as we bypass the trivia of life, the confusion and unconsciousness, and the behavior of those who choose to allow themselves to suffer. We always conclude at the end of each show that we do have choices regardless of the circumstances that surround us. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Michael hopes to get his message or approach for creating well-being and healing to a world in desperate need of healing. This message comes at an ideal time, a time when we are experiencing the highest rates of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease ever recorded, and also Michael will offer a progressive solution to our broken healthcare system. Michael's passion for healthy living was born from his own personal 13-year journey of transformation, which was the stepping stone or crisis for his own self-development. Michael, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a place, a person, or event, or values, or goals that were very meaningful to them as a young person, child, and if the life they're leading now reflects that earlier childhood that they experienced. So think back for a minute to when you were a kid.
Yeah, it was just basically everything I experienced to get to where I'm at now. When I look back, at my adult age, look back to, when I was growing up, not knowing that everything I was experiencing and going through in my life at the time was going to create the opportunity and the possibility for me to be able to hugely impact our country and our world, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well.
In other words, you were born to experience everything you experienced, the difficult experiences that would give you a deeper awareness of your own divinity or heart or soul or reason for being here on this earth. In other words, everything's necessary, nothing's random for our
right.
Life. Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. So let's go on to tell us about your own health challenges. And how old were you when you first began gaining large amounts of weight? Was there any particular circumstance that you believe may have contributed to the changes in your eating habits?
Yeah, definitely. So basically, in my junior year of high school in 1997, I was about 17 years old. I met a girl, and we were together, and she gave birth to a child, and we raised the child for about a year and a half. And I come to find that the child was not mine, and she was cheating on me the whole time. So that kind of created a very difficult situation to deal with, and it caused me to start just eating terribly, and I put on a lot of weight in a short period of time. I put on about 70 or 80 pounds in like a year and a half. So, you know, this escalated, and I developed health problems because of it. I developed sleep apnea, and I had high blood pressure, and I also developed gum disease because of living this way and eating a terrible diet and having a sedentary lifestyle. And well, it wasn't until I...
It was also because you were too young and you got involved with someone who showed you something. She was there for a reason, obviously, to help you grow and see and
right.
go beyond. But it hurt. Nonetheless, at 17 years old, it's got to hurt to have a child and to be with someone who doesn't turn out to be true love as you wished it to be. We all look for that, and we're trained to think that it exists, and it does. But it doesn't always come in as easily as we would think. Sometimes we have to have many other challenges before we understand love, have a greater deal of self-love, have an understanding of unconditional love and love for life. Yeah, so
exactly.
you didn't have the experience yet to deal with all
Well,
those
no,
things.
I mean, I was still a kid myself, you know, and trying to
Even
fully understanding what was happening to me at that time and what I was going through.
Of course not, because the brain is not fully mature until about 25 years old, so we can consider anyone under 25 still really a teenager and making choices that are always not the best for them.
Definitely.
And even at 25, you're only a young adult, so there's a lot of learning that has to go on. Now, during your 13-year weight loss and health transformation journey, did you re-examine and reassess the relationships in your life, your career, your friends?
Yeah, that was actually an integral part of my health transformation, because the weight I physically lost, you know, the physical weight, I lost that in 10 months, 10, 11 months, lost about 75 pounds. That wasn't hard. I just, you know, it's common sense, you know, more activity, a healthier diet, just kind of mindful of what you're eating.
Yes.
It was the underlying mental, emotional, and spiritual imbalances that I had to find the root cause of those and, you know, work on them, you know, eliminate them from my life to actually totally heal myself inside out. And it took a lot of heavy duty work, a lot of crying, a lot of letter writing, a lot of, deep examination of everything, you know, everything about me.
Yes, self-investigation and self-mastery of your emotions. That's what this show is about. It's not handed to us on a silver platter. The unfolding of our soul and our inner awareness of who we are is there, but it's buried. And we need our activities in life and the people we're with and the experiences that we have. They're the groundwork for us to really learn to know ourselves and to develop ourselves and to love life when we move through the work. But we have to go through the challenges. It's just that simple. So what inspired you to write this book?
My biggest inspiration was the health transformation that I experienced, which was losing 100 pounds, reversing sleep apnea and gum disease, and also lowering my blood pressure. That was the biggest inspiration, but also one of the other biggest inspirations was from my dad. He passed away from ALS in 2012, but he was diagnosed in 2004. So he had the disease for 10 years. He was given a 2 to 3 year life expectancy, and the conventional doctors gave no solutions for us other than to take a medication that would prolong his life for a couple months. So that's when I started researching nutrition and mindful, healthy living heavily and started learning everything I could. And he shared some things with me when he was passing on to the next dimension. He was sharing some things at me that nobody could possibly know unless they knew that they were dying. And some of these things were so profound. And a lot of the wisdom that he shared with me is in my book, Transformative Nutrition.
Yes, it is.
And he told me that he wanted me to get what I learned through my journey and from him being sick. He wanted me to get this information out to the world so people can heal their life from the inside out, heal their life physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything, every area.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry your father had to deal with that disease. It's really a rough one, and you had to help him through it. But, Michael, I often have coincidences with my guests, and within a few pages into your book, I had an amazing coincidence to my own dad's passing, which was in 1993. You wrote your father's eulogy, as did I. And you wrote, "I could feel his soul trying to escape his physical body. He resisted death. Death came to take his soul, and he fought with everything he had. He refused to let go of life." Michael, when I read your dad's name, Jerry, in that speech, I began to cry. Because of my dad's long suffering, which was hard for me to watch, but because when I was a little girl, I didn't have many toys, but I was given a little plastic boy doll, and I named him Jerry. And I remember talking to him like I would to God or an angel or someone in spirit. And he would help me understand the hardships of this physical world, because I had someone to talk to about these intimate things, which many people were not on my soul level to discuss, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely.
So, before my mother died, she gave me back that little doll, which she had kept in the closet, wrapped in plastic for so many years. And so I think I was speaking with spirit all my life, the way your father tried to express to you what he was discovering before he passed. And now, as an energy practitioner and medium, I know consciousness survives physical death, and we need to celebrate and value life and each other always. And so I wrote my dad's eulogy because the night before I was very sick with the flu, and I had what I thought was a dream, and my grandfather was standing next to me, and he said, "I had to write something for my father." And the next day, I got a call from my mom that my dad had passed. So I wrote his eulogy, first of all, because I was told to. I didn't put it all together at the time, and it wasn't a dream that I had, but a spiritual visitation, which I learned about later. But I wrote in my dad's eulogy something like this: "My dad, like all of us, wore a mask and showed many faces to the people in his life, his family, his wife and daughters, brothers, friends, colleagues, and patients, in order to be what was expected of him. But in truth, all he was a soul experiencing life, remembering the beauty of goodness, love, and spirit that resided inside him and would return home to eternal life." Now, at the time I wrote that, I didn't quite know where that was coming from, and I wasn't aware of the transformation that would happen to me over the next 20 years and how I would really discover what life was all about. So we have that in, we have that awareness. You at a very young age. I got it a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
So you also.
Yeah, that sounds like a channeled eulogy. I mean, like a lot of the stuff I wrote in my book is like, it feels like it was channeled. And I get what you're saying. It's interesting, the synchronicity of it, of everything. And
it's
really interesting.
And not only that, you mentioned at the time of his death there was a flash of lightning and thunder, and you took it as a sign that his soul had moved on to a higher level where disease does not exist. And indeed, that's exactly what it was, because the day we buried my father on March 14th, it was so cold and damp, and I was so sad to think of him on such a gray day being put in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly the sun came out, and I felt the warmth, and I thought it was like a small miracle. And it actually was, because my sadness and my thought went up to spirit, and they changed the energy around the burial of my father. So it's very important for us. Now, we create a lot of things with our thinking, and we would rather have loving thoughts that bring a greater reality of positivity into our life. And it really works. It really works. Change your thinking, change your life, change your eating, change your physical well-being. These are not things that people just say to pass time. They really, really work. So let's go on to tell us why you think people develop addictions.
Yeah, you know, addiction in the sense of the word, it could, you know, be to anything, you know, food, chocolate, drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, there's the common ones. And, you know, a lot of people are addicted to drama and it gets them going, you know, and it's just understanding where that comes from is where the power lies in dealing with something, you know, addiction or, you know, transforming it. Understanding where it's coming from. Like, is it the actual thing or activity that you're addicted to, or is it more of the thought or the fantasy world that it creates for you?
Well, I think, Michael, what it is every human being wants to move from pain and unhappiness to feeling well and joy and happiness. And what it is it's not understanding our dual nature as both a spiritual being and a physical being, and not understanding that many of the problems we developed started in childhood when we were many societal and belief systems and patterns and hurts, and a lot of the trust, natural trust we had, were lost. We discovered that we could lose things, so we had to act a certain way in order to survive and protect ourselves. That's where the addictions come from. Quite simply, there's nobody on this planet who does not have some addiction to something.
Definitely.
Which is basically a way to numb ourselves to whatever hurts us, you know, and to get
past
the hurt.
Not processing the hurt and pain and trauma from previous experiences, and that's where the real transformative power lies, in those events and situations. And once you start working through them and processing them, health, you know, you can build a healthy relationship with your body, with food, with your spiritual practice, whatever it may be. And, you know, these are the kind of conversations that need to be had. As, you know, as you were saying, when we're young, we have, you know, this pure mind, and this, all the, our thoughts are pure and our words are pure, but then we're told we can't do things, and we're oppressed, and we're suppressed. You know, you have to
this religion. Michael, I like those words, oppressed and suppressed. Yeah. Right, taken from our level of joy and happiness and knowingness as spiritual beings, as children, and given something from the physical world that is mostly illusion from the mind and not from the heart. And exactly, that's exactly what happens. Now, Michael, you go on to say many people are concerned with counting calories, and in your book, Transformative Nutrition, you encourage people to count chemicals instead, and you have a very good discussion about that. So tell our listeners what you mean by that.
When you look at a product in the grocery store, if it's a processed product, you know, it's going to have ingredients on it, the box or the packaging, whatever it may be. When you look at the ingredients, they don't match the description a lot of the time on the front. When you look at it, it says all natural or made with all natural ingredients or 100% trans fat free. You look at these statements, they don't agree with the actual ingredients. And that's what we need to be looking at instead of the front. Because the front, they can put whatever they want and disguise it as what it's really not. For example, a lot of products that I find, even the so-called natural ones, will have blanket ingredients, such as natural ingredients or natural flavors or spices. And when you really start to think about it, those are not ingredients, those are statements. Like natural flavors is a statement. It's not an actual ingredient. So it's like, it kind of raises the question, what natural flavors? If this product is so natural as you claim, then every ingredient should be listed individually on the ingredient label.
You also give some other good ideas. You say that there are many toxic chemicals added to our foods. So artificial sweetness, coloring, and MSG are highly toxic. We can eliminate processed boxed and canned foods. I never eat anything from a can, except maybe tuna fish. I do eat tuna mm-hmm. fish sticker, but mostly I don't like to have canned foods.
Right.
You suggest clean water should not include chlorine or
Right.
fluorides. Years ago, they were making all of us had fluoride treatments at the dentist, but now they're
Yep.
not doing that anymore. And you should rid yourself of diet sodas, and I have trouble with
I'll
this.
tell you what, fluoride alone is one of the chemicals that it's in our water too, you know, our public water supply. And, you know, they were trying to tell us with the dental thing, but fluoride actually calcifies the pineal gland, which disconnects us from our true essence of God, of the universe. It is our
absolutely
it's the
yeah
connection we have to the divine of everything. And they know that, and that's why they put it in our water. I mean, and I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist on that aspect, but I really think it makes sense. You know, what would disconnect us more from source than to block the source point, which is the pineal gland?
Yeah, so are they still doing that, or have they stopped putting the fluoride in the water?
Some cities have bans against fluoride. It's interesting because if you look at many European countries, they have banned fluoride completely in the dental practice and in the water supply, and because they know that it's toxic to the pineal gland and
yes.
to your, you know, the third eye. They know this stuff.
All right. So
some cities in the U.S. are starting to ban it too. So that's good. We need more awareness, like, you know, like I'm doing right now and saying this. Like, we need more people to know that it's happening and that it's possible to remove all the fluoride from our water supply in the U.S. And that's good. That's progress forward.
Absolutely. So, Michael, does the health transformation journey ever end? People like to think there's a happy ending and an end, but what do you say?
I say it's life. You know, it becomes part of who you are. It becomes part of your essence, your being.
Absolutely.
And it becomes just, it's part of you, just like anything else, just like waking up and living your day. You know, your health is part of you. It's going to be with you till the day you die. And that's why I like to tell people, knowing that, don't you want to make sure that you live your life every day as healthy as possible, making the choices that sustain you not only physically but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? Because when you do, then you can actually experience your highest version of yourself. You know, not the part of you that your ego wants you to experience, which is living in pain and being overweight and being in a miserable job and having dysfunctional, that's what the ego wants for us. But our true self knows that we deserve much better than that, and we can achieve that just by effort and determination and just loving our body and having that self-love present.
Absolutely. And you wrote in your book, now is always the time to, and you listed some wonderful experiences we should all be working towards and being involved in. Number one, take responsibility for your life experience. Start your life all over. That means if something's not right, let's begin and try something else. Laugh in the face of defeat. Face those fearful feelings, do what is true regardless of consequences, and discover the difference between your heart and your head so you'll act from your soul and spirit and not from your ego. Many ideas that are in your head and ego mm-hmm. are illusions anyhow. And realize that resistance to the disturbance is the disturbance. Step down as a judge, stop explaining yourself to others, release all resentments, and let it go. And I so laughed when I saw let it go, because years ago, when I was first starting in this work, a medium said to me, Cheryl, you have to learn to let go. I had no idea what they meant by that, but over the years, we've had to let go of beliefs that no longer serve us, of information
definitely.
And rules that were given to us that don't resonate any longer in the life we're leading, and letting go of the fear and letting go of the restriction and limitation so we could be freer and develop the way we were meant to as leaders in the health field and leaders in the field of understanding spirit and that consciousness survives physical death. And all our experiences, Michael, you and I, have led us to that conclusion, and that's why, even though some of them were difficult, they had to happen.
Mm-hmm,
so
definitely.
Yeah, you mentioned something, and I've never asked anyone on the show about this, and I've been told many times by many people to do this, but I want to get your take on it. In your book, you mentioned you got rid of your TV over 10 years ago. What compelled you to do such a thing, and how does that relate to healthy living?
It is very much connected to healthy living because the TV... I mean, if you think about the name, I like to research the name, the origin, the etymology of things, and television, what vision is it telling? Whose vision is it telling? Because if you look at some of the ads and some of the programs, it sure doesn't seem like it's telling you to be a positive and self-loving individual. It's more like get drugs from the doctor, drive the latest sports car, drink drink this beer, eat this fast food, and you know, this programming is actually, it's called programming for a specific reason. It's not just random that it's called programming and it's called television. It's programming our minds to dumb us down.
So that's how it started. It started when we were kids, and I recently did an interview with a woman who wrote a book on mind wars. We have been programmed since the beginning of time.
Pretty much.
To follow what society needs from their citizens. So how many thoughts in a day are our own thought, and how many thoughts have been given to us? So that's what I want our listeners to start to think about. When you have a thought and something you wish to do, is it your own thought, or is it something that's been given to you from someone else? If it's from someone else, it's... doesn't have much value. Let's try to focus on our own thoughts. Thank you very much. I want to thank you, Michael Tamets, author of Transformative Nutrition, for offering to the public your views for transformation and healthy living, not only to feed the body wisely, but also the mind, heart, and spirit with thoughts of love and intentions to visualize and live life in its fullness with a soul's wisdom. In order to purchase this book, go to transformative-nutrition.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Michael Tamets has shared his personal transformation and shown how the circumstances of his life, as the circumstances and challenges of all our lives, offer us a new way to the values we should hold dear and we should honor. And as we learn to know ourselves and listen to our body, we can discover not only the foods that will nurture and satisfy us, but understand the energy of life and how people, places, and events affect our mood, our state of mind and well-being, and offer us help in making choices that suit our unique needs. Creating the best and healthiest life experience can be accomplished by paying attention to our environment, our inner feelings, always using intuition for working with our genetic, emotional, personality, and spiritual needs, and learning to really accept people in life as they are and not as we perceive or wish them to be. Michael wrote, "As a human species with a unified living spirit and consciousness, we tend to be a giant mirror for each other. Many times when I become upset with other people's actions, it is usually because they reflect the actions I take myself. I think you may be able to relate to that statement in many ways. This is why universal love is a necessary energy to have in life. It influences the things that make life amazing and beautiful. This same concept applies with your body. Michael and I would have you consider that it is only possible to be healthy and productive when we discover or remember that we are spiritual beings having a physical life and allow ourselves to know there is no separation from other living beings. To find harmony, balance, and peace, we must choose love in our thinking, our actions, our behaviors. Then we will evolve and be the creative forces for change, transformation, and an improved life condition that is so needed in these explosive modern times. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com to listen to and read about innovators in the fields of science, health, spirituality, and the arts as we explore possibilities for discovering self and life in a way that suits us individually and collectively. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.